Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Season 6. Let's start another design studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Coller, Nolan Haynes, and Sandra Jones.
I'm Troy Coller from TLC Creative Services, Inc. and based in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Haynes from Nolan Haynes Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Okay, we're all back from Florida. This is our first time getting together kind of as a group and saying hi to each other. So I've been traveling and we all traveled to Florida, and we're going to do this little intro to a conversation we actually recorded at the Presentation Summit. I wanted to hear what's happening with you guys. What are you guys up to this past week or so?
Well, we announced last podcast, the Better Deck Deck. My deck of 52 alternatives to bullet points has been selling really well, all over the world, actually. Orders pouring in from Asia and the Middle East and South America and Europe and all over
the
place.
And you hand deliver all those, right? That's part of the package?
We do. That's right. So, yeah, so I've been, my arm's tired, right? So, it's just gotten a great reception, and we're packing things out and getting them in the mail. And, so I'm really happy about that. I'm looking forward to my first in-person training in about 18 months in California in about a week and a half. It's going to be a 2-day training for a medical company. And before then, just tons of webinars, including a free one. I don't do a whole lot of free webinars, but there's going to be one this Thursday, October 21st for Training Magazine Network called Solutions to PowerPoint's Biggest Frustrations. So it is only an hour. I know you probably need days to cover every frustration, but we'll put the link in the show notes there, and or you can check out my Twitter or LinkedIn to find the link there.
Well, because you mentioned the whole, things shipping all over the world, I had to jump in and say, what's happening for me is travel. I mean, I've been traveling within California. Speaking of which, when you're coming out to California, you're going to be up in the Bay Area or down south?
Bay Area.
Okay, I won't see you then, but
no.
I would have made a trip. Anyways, lots of travel. I've been, within California, obviously, but to other states, including Florida, obviously, where we're all at for the Presentation Summit, but then other countries. I just finished up my third international destination in the past 2 months. I mean, this is just crazy. I put a Facebook post out there. I was like, it's almost like 2019. I'm traveling. Got several new clients, and that's kind of thanks to what we call executive migration. I mean, there's been a lot of executives moving around. We start getting phone calls and, hey, can you help out? So lots of great design projects. The TLC design team is busy, but for me, it's all about travel and sitting on airplanes again and being in airports and listening, having flight delays and stuff I haven't had to deal with in a long time. Okay, Sandy, how about you? What's up?
Well, I have a bunch of new clients. One is one of my favorites. Yes, I've worked with this CFO at a couple of other orphan drug startups. So he brought me along to this new one, and I cannot wait to get started. It's always a learning to see what these miracle drugs can do that big pharma can't make any money off of, so they don't they don't invest in it. So anyway, that's what I'm working on there. I'm still heavy into building slide libraries for a couple of organizations. I'm template building and I'm training on templates. And I just finished up my fourth round of screenplay pitches for an animated film. So it's it's really cool.
Pharma to animation. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Nice.
And was that kind of like an executive migration thing? Executive went from one company to another and you get to come along? Somebody asked us once, how do you market yourself? Because we do no marketing. We never have at all. And I was like, we rely on executive migration. What's that? We get set up as a preferred vendor and executive leaves. We get set up a preferred vendor there because they know we'll take care of everything. I think it's a great solution. Okay, let's jump over because there is a lot happening in the world of PowerPoint news. So hold on, let's do a little music stinger. Okay, I got to start it off, guys. This one's pretty amazing to me. hopefully it is to the two of you and everybody listening, of course, in looking at our production notes for this podcast, this is news, we have 5 episodes until the end of the year. 5! And we just officially added the season 7, you know, whole thing to our production notes, which is amazing. So we're filling in all of our topics there as well. What do you guys think of that? Do you guys even realize it?
Season 7.
Didn't this all start as a 1-year test or something like that?
1 year? Six months? I said 6 months.
Yeah. Awesome. So, I'm so glad.
I thought it was newsworthy for us. Not newsworthy to the world, but hey, anybody listening, it's newsworthy because we're still here doing this and there's still stuff to talk about.
It's nice to grow old with the two of you. Jeez. As we head into our golden years of podcasting. All right. So let's talk about software and Windows and Microsoft and PowerPoint news. Office 2021 was officially released on October 5th. Now, this is the standalone, right? Because the perpetual is always, if you get a subscription, it's always a subscription. So this is the, I guess, new version of 2019 Office. And, you know, if you look up, like, we'll put a link in for like what's new, but it's kind of what's new relative to 2019. So I was looking down the list of things. I'm like, oh, I thought we already had that. But these kind of things have been in the Microsoft 365 subscription. So anyway, if you're the kind of person that always buys the, you know, the standalone version, there's a new option for you and you'll get, you know, things like Ink Replay and Record Slideshow and stuff, which again, I thought we'd always have.
They're all features that we've been enjoying, but they're now there. So I just love the naming. I mean, Nolan, it is October. We're just about, you know, they got the name out just in time for 2022 to come around.
It used to be like they would release things like, they would release like Office 2023, like a year, like they would release it way ahead before the year, like Cars. But now it's like after, I don't know. Well, I'm amazed that they did another standalone version because I thought the last one was going to be the last one and they were
I read an article a little earlier. This may be the last one, but it's all for enterprise clients that are in standalone environments. They just you know, they're still in a lockdown environment where they don't allow web interactivity or, you know, connection with their systems. So,
and it makes sense, but I keep hearing it's the last standalone release. So I'll be curious to see if they follow through on this. Speaking of the Office suite, now I've only experienced this on Windows 11, but there's a visual refresh for all Office apps that's coming to all builds of Office. I don't have access to that, but I've seen some of the new features. What do you think, guys?
Well, features is a relative term. It's a visual refresh. Roundedness is, I think, the cornerstone of the whole thing. Okay, I've been testing it on my Surface, which is the only computer I have that's outside of our enterprise Office 365, because you can't run the beta or Fast Insider or whatever we call it now. So I've been running it there. So it hasn't come to my main production computers, but I think the important thing here is the visual refresh is for desktop apps, because the mobile ones, they automatically get updated. You don't have to worry about a big refresh. So Nolan, like the little rounded corners on, you see on the left side or slide sorter view, the slide thumbnails, they're rounded on the Mac for a while, right?
They are. They've been that way for a while. I've been looking on the PC and I guess I have the visual refresh other than the rounded corners. What else is there? Like
Oh, the ribbon at the top is now it looks like it's semi-floating and it's rounded corners at the bottom with a little drop shadow, which I also am not fond of.
I don't know why. I just didn't make that much of an impression on me, I guess.
How about the background theme? It forced me to go, there doesn't seem to be the traditional gray that I've used. It's not the dark charcoal gray on Outlook, it forced me to that dark gray.
Well, I know when you do the refresh, whatever setting you have, it changes it to whatever it's hard coded as a default. Now, I use the dark gray, so I didn't notice it as much. I wish I had my Surface in front of me.
Right. There were two grays and they got rid of one of them. Is that
right? Right.
Is that what it
That's
is?
What I'm seeing anyway.
I think there was a medium gray and a dark gray. I use light. I don't like
dark gray. Know what? And a really good, a newsworthy item here is that this is the desktop. It's the desktop apps for Windows 10 and Windows 11. You don't need to have Windows 11. Like Sandy said, basically if you get Windows 11, my understanding is you just automatically get the refresh because it's kind of tied to the OS. So it's not only a Windows 11 thing. You can be on Windows 10 and have this visual refresh. And I guess the big deal is, you know, I've been running it for several months on the preview beta build. It's now being rolled out to all builds. So we'll all see it within the next week or two would be my guess. And you just have to live with it, whether you like it or not. I have a few blog posts about the things I wasn't too fond of, just to kind of bookmark them in time. All okay, right. What else we got out there?
Well, not tied into the refresh, but something I'm noticing, it has to be across all new Office 365 versions, builds. Have you noticed the edit button in the captions bar to update alt text inline versus having to go to the picture format tab? So you insert a picture and you get this control box that pops up and mm-hmm. it shows the alt text button, and you can go directly to that and immediately label it if you need to or reorder it. It's kind of a cool little
I think that's a good improvement. Benefit. That's another thing, but it was so hard. I mean, you used to have to go to the picture form. If you want to change that alt text, you go to the picture format tab. You have to click the alt text button. That opens up the pane on the right. And then you had to go into the edited in there, and then you had to close the whole thing down. It was, this is much quicker and smoother. Yeah. It's a good one.
Nice. On the Mac, there have been a couple small changes to PowerPoint. You can now copy in whole sections. So if you select everything in a section, copy and paste, it will bring over the slides, but it'll also bring over the section and the section title. That's been on the PC forever, but it's nice. It's fine.
I didn't realize that wasn't on the Mac. I rely on that a lot.
And you still can't bring in multiple sections. You still have to do it one at a time. I know. It's a pain in the butt. But it also works if you're copying and pasting within a deck, because I don't love that that thing where you select a section and you want to move it down and then everything collapses and it's hard to know, like you have to look carefully.
I like that.
Well, I don't. So what I do now is I just select the section, cut it, go to wherever mm-hmm. I want to insert it, and then paste it, and it'll paste in the full section. I mean, that whole up and down thing, it just goes too fast for me, and like my mouse gets too fast.
But I'm usually working with sections that have speakers' names, so it's mm-hmm. I think I'm easier to identify what it is, whereas you're probably working with more storyboard, opening and topic one, topic two, and you just got to, the sections aren't always really labeled, where it might just say a doctor's name and I know what I'm looking for.
And you can also now save out as SVG. Again, it's been on the PC for a long time, so now you can save out an image as an SVG. What you can't do is copy and paste as an SVG, which is still weird to me, but maybe that'll come at some point. But if you've seen anything else, because these are like these small things they haven't announced, I just happened across them. If you've seen anything else, let us know or let Twitter know.
I've got a small one. This should be on the mm-hmm. Mac side as well. And it's an image thing, just like you were talking about SVG. The web.webp, which is like a image size that a lot of websites use it. It's one of those file formats that you'll encounter, and it just, it's just a weird one. I mean, it's being used more and more. It's kind of like SVG, SVG was out there and then the web adopted it, and suddenly, it became the de facto go-to. .webp. It's W-E. B as in boy, P as in paste. It's an image format that it's basically it's supposed to have better image compression for publishing images to the web. I mean, it's specifically a 72 DPI image thing that's lossless. It's like a ping, it can't get worse in quality by resaving it. Anyways, it's now supported by all Office apps, because before it wouldn't let you copy them in, and it should be on the Mac, I would assume.
I have never even heard of that format, so I'll look into it.
I encounter it quite a bit because we do so much web design work. But with that being said, it's another addition to the file formats that Office supports, which should be both Windows and Mac. I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah, I'll check into it. Good thing to know. All right. Well, the good folks at Nolan Hames Creative have extended their discount on the Better Deck Deck for Presentation Podcast listeners. We've had definitely some people take advantage of that. Use the promo code PODCAST20. So that's still available right now to get 20% off the digital or the physical or both, and start getting rid of those bullet points.
It is so worth having this little box. It's a fun one. I got one last item so we can wrap up, because I know everybody's dying to hear the real conversation, which is really good here. One last item, and it's also a software thing. Slidewise, which I believe all three of us use, has mm-hmm. released version 1.2. This is their first major update release, and it has a lot of refinements in using it on the kind of interface level. Have you guys upgraded it?
I've already tested it out and took it for a spin. Yeah,
the only thing that really throws me off is that by default, it turns it on. So that slide-wise, the action pane opens up by default, and it basically shows you everything about it. And I really don't want to see that. It's really easy to turn it off. They give you directions, but it's, you know, there's a show hide button right on the home tab now, which I think is very helpful.
But that, you know, having it come up automatically for the sake of fonts is kind of nice. I mean, that's what we've always been asking for when you want to open a file and know if fonts are getting substituted. And SlideWise tells you that.
Exactly. I get it. I haven't used it yet, but I can see where if I accidentally clicked on that Georgia Pro bullet point again, that I need to get rid of that right away. So,
yeah, I turned off the automatic. I want it to be my action. I don't need something cluttering my interface. It's just kind of my personal thing because I'm opening up too many files throughout the day. A lot of times I'm just opening a file to quickly reference or grab another slide, and I don't need that extra thing there. But the show hide on the home tab, I think it's an awesome feature because it doesn't take over anything. You still have the SlideWise tab that gives you, you know, the other additional options there. But Sandy, when I went to download it, this was amazing to me because I actually got very confused. I clicked the download link and I'm like, wait, why am I reading? What is this? In the middle of the download page is this beautiful advertisement. So when I click the download link to get version 1.2 from the New Power website, it has this amazing center image ad for the Better Deck Deck. Nolan.
It's amazing how that happened. So
it is gorgeous. Stellar. And it completely confused me. I thought I was at the wrong website. It's so dominant.
Well, we appreciate the folks at New Power for giving us a little boost there and a little promotion.
Well deserved.
It's awesome. Well deserved and very, very cool. And get version 1.2, everybody. It's a free upgrade if you've already paid for this stuff. And it does some really nice things in the action pane. They've consolidated some of the menus over on the side. It's just a good improvement. Okay, guys, we've got to turn this over to us in Florida. You ready? Here we go. All right, Sandy, Nolan, we are in Clearwater, Florida. We're overlooking the bay side. I don't have the cool oceanfront room.
I don't know.
The water is very clear.
It's better, better. It's much nicer view than my room.
Yes. Okay.
So we're going to have an awesome conversation, one of many we're recording here while we're down in Florida at the Presentation Summit 2021. And this is going to be, well, I'm just going to be biased, one of the coolest conversations.
Because two of the coolest guests.
And
absolutely
introduce our guests, because we're just going right into it.
Well, let me do that. Let's see. I tried to do this when we had their book launch party a couple weeks ago, and I stumbled all over Echo's name.
You did?
I called you Echo Swinberg.
That's great.
That's awesome.
That's our new business name.
There we go. Yeah,
Swinberg. Anyway, I'll make this official.
Swinberg Presentations.
So there you go.
Templates by Swinberg.
Welcome, Echo and Julie. We're very glad to have you here today to talk about your newest book.
Thank you.
Oh, so awesome. Sound effects. Yes.
Oh, I will put sound effects in. So, for those that have not seen it yet, the official title is Building PowerPoint Templates V2, which we're going to hear all about, I'm hoping,
V2.
By Echo Swinford and Julie Terberg. Terberg. By Echo Swinford and Julie Terberg. And it is phenomenal. Now, before we go anywhere, guys, in conversation, I have my copy here. Anybody that is listening will have the Amazon link. It's $49.99 or whatever.
I think it's on sale right now at the time of the call, so at the time of the podcast. So you might get a bargain price.
Amazon. You all might do better than I did, but I brought my copy here because I'm handing this off.
Alrighty.
That loud thump was the book. It is substantial. Here is my pen. Let's have please give me a sign.
It's too thick.
My pen is not good enough for you.
Troy just handed me a regular Sharpie to sign a book with. No.
We need to be able to sign this with a signature, recognizable signature.
Well, I'm getting a photo of this. We can put it on there because I'm getting a signed edition. So what's going to happen is, I don't know if anybody's tried to buy the version 1, I guess we call it. This, you can literally find it
if you can find it, it's somewhere between $100 and $1,000.
Oh, it was $4,000 at one point.
Yeah, is that, yeah, it's just crazy. It's at the most, because it's a great book. It just doesn't exist. So I'm counting on this as my retirement fund.
I keep thinking I'm going to buy a box of them and stash them away. And then when we just decide not to print them, I can raise the price to $4,000 again.
So again, it was 50-ish bucks. Maybe you all will do better than I did, but I have no problem dropping the money on this one because the amount of information in there I've spent the last 15 to 20 years gathering, and or I could have just read this book. You know, the easy way and gather it all. Look at, I've got two signatures. I have a signed edition, people.
And I,
Nolan, Cindy, you don't.
I do. I do. Oh, I know. I feel so bad. I didn't. I had so much stuff in my suitcase. I did not bring my copy down, but it's at home. So next time I will get a signature. And I treasure my version one copy. Aww. I mean, literally, it's like a, you know, whenever I have to finally sit down and really start that template, I sit down, I stop. I get back up. I go to my bookshelf. I pull it out. I put the book next to me. I'm like, I'm going to need it. So why?
There is an EPUB version of our new book.
No, that's good to point out. I'm a physical guy. I like a physical one.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Well, let's actually start with that. This is a self-published book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is there a story behind it? Because the first book was.
Well, let's go back to the first book. That was published in what year?
2012, right?
I think so.
2012.
Yeah. And then it stopped kind of being available how many years after that?
Well, they weren't. I mean, it's a very niche book, so we weren't selling them by the thousands, right. You know?
Yeah, but, yeah. The publisher, so it was published by Q, and I mean, I think it did okay, but, you know, of course, like with any publication from a real publisher, we got an advance and then you get your royalties against the advance. And I don't even think we made our advance back. So when we wanted to do a version two, they were like, yeah, no, not doing that again.
That's a business move, but maybe not the best business move.
The inside baseball is they gave you the rights to it.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And that's obviously crucial.
Yes. So we did. We got the rights to it. And so
which
we
seems
were
weird
like,
anyway, to getting the rights to your own book. But
I know. That's the way it works. Right? But, you know.
Now Amazon owns us.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, we got the rights back. And then we decided that we would self-publish it. I mean, we checked with a couple of other publishers to see if they were interested. But, you know, to your point, Jules, it's very niche. So I just don't think that, and nobody's interested.
But
so
those
we
that
were.
Get it. Know what they're getting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and so you decided to self-publish. Mm-hmm. You started in earnest working on it.
A couple years ago.
A couple years ago.
Yeah. Okay. Pre-pandemic. We started working on it. I went down to Echo's place in Indiana and we powwowed and really thought about what we wanted to talk about. And we wrote a little bit that weekend and partied a little bit that weekend. I think it was your birthday weekend too, wasn't it?
Probably. That's usually when we get together.
Right? And then with the lockdown, things just got weird and we really didn't have a lot of momentum to work on it. Mm-mm. It just seemed kind of like we were in this fog and everything got put on hold. And then it's like, oh my God, we got to get this book done.
I know. Like, yeah, COVID hit. COVID was weird. And we worked on it here and there. And we kept coming across different things that we wanted to add. So I knew my old one just had post-it.
Yeah, we had a list of things we knew we needed to change and add. Mm-hmm.
So substantially, how much is different in this version, percentage-wise?
Well, there's a lot. Everything,
there's a lot of extra.
Yeah. Okay. I would say that everything is rewritten. Right.
Does it? So pretty much the entire old book is still here. I mean, did you take anything out because it wasn't relevant anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, chart templates. That's like I redid the chapter on charting completely. I still have the bit of the information about chart templates in there, but I took out all the stuff about like, you know, those chart style galleries with all of the different effects, the, you know, moderate and subtle and intense, because it's not relevant anymore. The chart styles are completely different. They're not based on your subtle, moderate and intense effects and all of that. So there was no need to keep
all not based on aesthetics.
I would also like to a couple things that are different. Our advice, first of all, in terms of when we wrote the first book, you had a lot of people transitioning from early versions of PowerPoint into the new XML based. And so our advice for keeping those default templates, I mean, layouts has totally changed. So you'll see some things in there. It's like, okay, we used to tell you to do this, but now we found that, you know, this is better. The tutorial In the old book, designs come and go, design trends come and go. And so that one looks totally dated. And so for this book, I took it upon myself to do a template design for the tutorial that was quite basic in look and feel. And the instructions in the book tell you to make it your own. You can use my color palette as your tutorial or use your own. If you don't like the designs that are in this, you know, tutorial template, change it up. But here's a basic one for you to go. And hopefully it won't look old in, you know, the next 8 or 10 years.
Well, and then the font information, like that chapter, that's all up to date.
Cloud fonts, you're talking about.
Like about, yeah. And
then a page and a half about all the warnings on embeddings.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh. Lots and lots of warnings.
See, that's new content that wasn't a factor
with
the first edition.
Oh, there's a whole new chapter on how to make your template work with designers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a really important one.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of what else we did. I think we put in some extra information about like what's your thought process behind it? Like we're talking about background styles. You know, background styles, it's something that nobody ever gets. We preach about background styles all the time. But, you know, sometimes you have some one of those slides that has like a dark blue panel down the left and then most of it's white. Well, which way do you go? Do you do a dark one? Do you do a light one? And as with anything, there's no perfect answer. Or with footers, you know, how do you think about your footer? There's no perfect answer, but here's what we consider and here's what we think through. So we try to give a little thought process there.
I think that's really important because with templates, rarely is there a black and white, this is the way to do it. I mean, there are with some things, of course, but there's a lot more judgment calls you have to make. And obviously anybody who's done a template for a client knows sometimes you give them 3 or 4 options and say, what do you want to do?
I hope some of the things that, especially what Echo's added as far as like footer information and things like that. Hopefully people will read that and say, okay, now I have some information to guide me into doing it a certain way, whereas before I might not have understood why deleting all those footers was a bad idea.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like it's the knowledge to understand the decisions you're making.
Or to explain them to somebody else when they have trouble with the template.
Right.
You know, why it's probably not the template, it's the user kind of thing.
And I've run into that tons of times with clients, and I'm confident explaining something, saying this is the fault of the program or this is just the way it works. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Sometimes I even say like, but the experts on templates, tell me X, Y, and Z, or at least I'm confident in saying, it's just the way it is. But here's the situation.
Yeah. Or here are your options. Right. And that's honestly, you know, to your point, that's a really important thing. Like people will call me because their templates don't work or whatever. Sometimes it's not, I mean, there's no way to do it. And it's just having the confidence to say, yeah, this is how PowerPoint works. You're expecting too much. There's no way to make this work. Or we can do this weird hack and it's a little fiddly, and here's what you can expect. But it's just having the confidence to know that and be able to explain that. And
such a nice phrase. This is the way PowerPoint works.
Because
I always say we're working within the constraints of PowerPoint options.
It's a more negative way.
What you're doing is just like not an option based on the way the program's coded. So I kind of like your phrasing. I'm trying to make a point that yes, what you want, I would like to. Everybody would like, but it's not there. Okay, yeah. I have two things here based on the book. So one is, like right off the bat, there's a similarity between the old book, the first version and the second version. Well, obviously the title is very, very similar, but the foreword. Tell us about how you contacted your foreword author. Cause it's very memorable. It's very, very nice.
How we contacted our foreword author.
Well, Rick Bretschneider wrote the first foreword.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And the second. It's
we contacted him to put a new spin on it, give us a new foreword for this version 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, shorter would be great. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be super long. We don't want to take up a lot of your time. You know,
Wait, is it
and
shorter?
You don't have to rewrite the whole thing. I mean,
So Rick wrote us a very clever foreword.
Yeah, that's what it's getting. It is clever. It's a really good statement to both of you.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very good statement about the constraints of
PowerPoint. Thank you, Rick. Thank you again, Rick Bretschneider, for doing
and
this.
It's very it explains MVP status. Yep. Explains how you stealthily collected data for the first one, which I thought was it's a great forward. It really is.
It wasn't really stealthy. I mean, it wasn't like.
I know it wasn't, but the way it's written. Okay, here's my second question. And this one's more of a question. Again, it's about the formatting of the book. Uh-huh. I was kind of surprised. And I want to hear your take on this. And this might be because it was just in version one this way. Look, they're all looking at me like, where are you going, Troy?
Yeah.
So, because I have pulled back so far from using themes. Themes are just not a part of our workflow. They're like a secondary thought now, but yet you kept themes way at the beginning of the content area.
Oh yeah.
I was thinking it should be almost buried and hidden.
Because no, people need to understand it.
I kind of want to go into, what do you mean you don't use themes? If you're making a
template,
you're
using a theme.
Yeah, but when
it exists.
Is it the THM?
We don't use THMX either.
You just mean .thmx files?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
That I understand.
No, we have
to. Doesn't it? Did I miss it?
No, we don't use THMX either. Okay. Yeah. We explain the parts and pieces.
Okay.
Yep.
See, I'm skimming the book. I was going, wow, this is pretty interesting to be pulling this out.
All right,
front.
Troy, okay. On the way home, your assignment is to actually read that chapter.
How much I dislike the way themes work. I would love them to work.
No, we hate them too.
I just skim past them.
I do. I operate the same way you do. I build themes, but I don't. I used to teach my clients how to
use
them.
You don't need to. Mm-hmm.
Don't do it anymore. No. Hey, but Troy, I want you to look at the back. We were talking about the forward. Look at the back of the book and read the first quote.
Just to confirm, I'm going to point this one.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. This one was awesome. So on the back of the book, I won't say who it's by yet. If you have the book, you can follow on. When I think about PowerPoint templates, I immediately think of Echo and Julie as two of the world's leading experts. They've taken decades of wisdom and put forth the gold standard when it comes to helping people understand and get the most out of PowerPoint templates. That is a bold statement. Of course, it is by Sean Villaron, Vice President of Product PowerPoint. So he's pretty much the guy in charge of everything, folks. I'm sure he's influenced everything you do. He's also in charge of Office graphics and video at Microsoft. And that is a 100% accurate statement, and it's pretty dang awesome.
Isn't that the...
You guys are so awesome.
I have goosebumps from it. That's such a geek.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
We're very grateful.
We were really honored that he agreed to do that. And then Rick B. gave us an amazing quote as well from his forward.
Mm-hmm. And so did Christine.
The third one...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. You know, you gotta go buy the book yourself, people. You can't get it all from us.
The sort of the words in the brackets, which kind of aren't there, is Sean saying, when I think of templates, I don't think of my employees who are in charge of this feature. But
that's,
I think
so
of Echo and Julie.
Right. No, that's not right. Whenever I talk to the folks at Microsoft who are doing templates, they really do know what's going on. They really do. I don't always agree with some of the decisions, but they know their stuff.
Obviously, without going into NDA stuff, can you just talk about your relationship with Microsoft and maybe specifically with templates over the years and certain employees? Because you obviously have a much tighter relationship than the average person.
That was the starting point.
Yeah. Years ago, I was contacted by a group who they needed to create some content to show off all of the new cool features in 2007?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had all the cool shiny stuff that we can't stand now, you know, the bevels and the shadows and the chrome and all that. So I was working with that team, and then I was approached by probably the same team, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
Similar.
Yeah, probably.
To clarify, these are teams at Microsoft.
Yeah. They needed to do
an external.
Yeah.
Vendor.
They wanted to flesh out their template offering with the new XML based templates. And I was hired to work with a designer at Microsoft. And I think we had a production person, and they wanted me to help them flesh out the designs that the folks were coming up with and build all these templates. And I still had full-time client work. So I brought on Echo because there was no way I could do it all unless I wanted to lose all my business. And after that project was over, I wouldn't have any clients. So I brought Echo on. And during that process, we worked together building these templates and correcting them on their design choices.
Arguing with them.
Arguing
on
with
their
them.
Design choices.
And going back and forth and back and forth. And we built, I don't know
100,
how many. Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. And then they would redesign them. And
yeah.
We'd have to rebuild
and we'd
them
have
again.
To redo it.
So you're saying your designs are part of, no.
There's a few in there that you can still find.
They're not the ones that ship.
No.
Like when you go in and you see, you know, Ion and Basis.
But
and
if you search.
But if you do the search, you'll find them. And some of them are still in use.
And some
in fact, somebody showed up at the thing we did with one of our templates.
Oh, that's what you were talking about? Yeah. Oh, that's hysterical. Yeah. We did a large conference together, yes. and one of the presenters.
Are those additional ones cloud-based? Do they download?
Yeah, they're somewhere up in the cloud.
Yeah, like if you search terms in the template
like
space.
Business template. Or
business or educational or whatever.
Those like there's some with glass buildings. There was a wedding thing. There's one that looks like it should be used for children in schools. Like, you know,
there were definite themes that they were provided by
marketing, researching. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then different markets had different mm-hmm. aesthetics. Mm-hmm. So we had to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, that, yeah. I was going to say something about that and I can't even remember what now. So go on. Doesn't matter.
But since then, do you have regular conversations with them about features or I mean, we should probably say that templates themselves, like while the program has changed, templates themselves have not really changed.
There hasn't been a whole
although
lot.
We have had conversations with some of the folks regarding some of the features, like mm-hmm. Designer. We've had specific mm-hmm. conversations about how mm-hmm. templates work with Designer and how mm-hmm. we can make them work. But as far as, no, we just meet like the rest of you on the MVP calls and during in emails. We will email if we have problems. We'll email the.
I remember what I was going to say. So when Julie was talking about we were designing a building, all of these, and then they would redesign and go back. Also, at that time, all of those templates all had their own effects themes. So that's when I started dabbling in XML. The XML and stuff like that to work with those. That was
stealing
always
some XML to create that cool.
Yeah, like this should have a heavier shadow or something. But then after we were doing that, it was like, oh, you don't have to do these. We're going to just leave these as, you know, straight up whatever.
Yeah.
So over time, I think they started realizing that people weren't changing the effects themes and it wasn't as critical. And so, yeah. We didn't have to worry about that so much anymore.
So self-published, and where can people find it?
Self-published, head to Amazon. That's going to be the one place.
Yeah,
it,
Building PowerPoint Templates V2.
So it's published through Amazon.
Yes,
it is.
Yes.
Is this like a print-on-demand type thing? Okay.
Yes.
But you can't. But I, you know, I ordered mine and had it 2 days later.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had mine next day. I was pretty excited.
They have multiple printing locations around, not only the States, but around the world. Mm-hmm. So mine might have been printed in Ohio and yours might have been printed right near in your neighborhood. You know, they have multiple print.
Except if you're ordering author copies, those will take a long time because mine won't get to my house until like October 4th.
Oh, really?
Really. Mm-hmm. Like I tried to get a box of them shipped down here. I was going to buy a box and have them shipped to here and they would arrive October 4th. And you know, our conference is over September 30th.
And I had to order a couple of special copies for gifts. And I had to hand carry them down here because at that point we didn't know how long they were going to take.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't order them before I left. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So, in theory, this should not go out of print again.
In theory, it should not. But there may come a time when Microsoft does update some of the functionality and
version
we
three.
Decide we want to. Well, yeah, exactly. Maybe if we decide we're going to completely rewrite it, then that's not happening for a while, as you can tell.
Well, speaking of Microsoft and might do anything, was there anything? I mean, there was a long delay between the first edition and the second edition. And is there a reason that we can publicly talk about that Microsoft, you're maybe holding out for something to happen or something miraculous with charting to occur or themes to actually work the way originally envisioned?
It didn't change a lot for many years.
That's the thing. Right.
But,
well, so Variants came out. That was a whole thing.
Okay.
That came out with PowerPoint 2013. But the thing is with Variants, to get rid of the Variants, and we explain why you should do that and all of this, but to get rid of those, all you have to do is save as POTX. So if you were actually following through our steps, you were going to do that at some point anyway. And so it wasn't worth trying to rewrite the whole book just to tackle that. Wow. That was crazy. But then fonts happened.
We were waiting for we were waiting for the font story to change because it's still bad. It's better. But we were waiting for the font story to change because we knew what was coming. We knew that the cloud font story was going to happen for most folks. And I have to say that I don't have any clients who are unable to use Cloud Fonts right now.
That's good to hear. Yeah. You know, you said bad. I would say the font situation is okay.
It's okay. It's okay. But anyway, so we were waiting for that. Waiting for more uptake in this whole subscription. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just made sense. But I would have liked to have finished the book a couple of years ago. But right. You know what? Writing a book is crazy.
Well,
amount
of work. The Cloud Font stuff wasn't really solid a couple years ago.
No.
So even though we started writing it, we knew it was coming. We wanted it to be usable before we actually went out
right.
published.
Is there? Do you address anything substantial about Mac versus PC or subscription versus the perpetual,
sure.
the standalone?
So sure.
You
cover wherever it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Which isn't a lot.
No, just a few things. When it comes to building a template, there are definitely a couple steps you can't do on the Mac.
Right.
You got to go over to the PC.
There is one really cool thing that I'm really happy that Echo spent the time to sleuth, I guess is the word. So you guys have all built templates, so you know that, you know, once in a while you'll still have Arial in there and you can't find it, or you'll still have Calibri in there and you can't find it anywhere. Well, did you know that those default bullet characters in the drop-down bullet menu all map to specific fonts?
Not just Arial.
Arial, Calibri, Wingdings, which is fine. So now you know everyone's going to have Arial, Calibri, and Wingdings. You don't have to get rid of those. Mm-hmm. It's just that now you know that's where those fonts are coming from.
And now you can tell your client, if they're like, where is this Arial coming from?
Mm-hmm.
That's not part of our theme font. It's the bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Really, don't stress it. It's the bullets. It's not going to disappear. Everybody has Arial.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Yeah. But it was just, and they're buried. Also, those last five level of bullets, you know, you have levels 5 through 9. Those bullets are also going to use Arial, even though they're not apparent. Mm-hmm. So even if you've changed them, and some, you probably don't want to change them. Anyway,
but if you use a tool like Slidewise and go in and change Arial, that means your bullets could get weird on you.
Without, they could.
Yeah. They could, yeah.
And
or,
the thing
or,
is,
or not. There are other fonts that,
they could.
That have the circle.
Well, and you know what? I would have to reread what I said, but I think that those bullets are not themed. Anyway, I think your bullets are straight up not themed.
They're hard-coded.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they're hard-coded. And so even if I change them to theme, they're still going to be hard-coded. I mean, it's just going to... I think that's the way the bullets work. I think. I can't remember what I wrote now. I always... See, that's part of this. It's my own reference. I'm like you.
How often do you go back to the book?
It's only 300 pages. You haven't even memorized
that? So, on that point, twice now when I've used Zerowood Space, mm-hmm. recently, it's defaulted to Georgia Pro. Zerowood Space.
Can I tell you why? Oh,
yes.
I'd love to
please.
Know why.
Okay. When you open up the custom bullets dialog
yes.
box...
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you change your font first.
To the one you're using, yeah.
And then
that
select
makes sense.
Zero width. Don't select anything from the bottom row because those are assigned to a font.
Good point. Okay.
I know that's how mm-hmm. you picked up that.
Probably.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Always go back up, change the font, select
make
the bullet
sure.
character.
Yeah.
And then you know at least it's hard coded to the
point.
One you want it to be.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The world thanks you.
mm-hmm. We can also look at the XML and see
yes.
if it's like mapped to a theme font or just directly to Georgia Pro for some reason.
Okay.
But that's probably why it got picked
up. Yeah, because they're not themed.
Yeah,
yeah.
They shouldn't be.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
okay.
Yeah, don't use any of the bullets on the bottom row.
Nice.
And that's
probably what I did.
And it's sometimes it's the littlest, tiniest thing. Now, here's the thing. If you wanted to just sit down and build a template and you don't really need to know the ins and outs and the whys, you can do a few steps, you know, build your color theme, build your font theme, do your this, do your that, do your the other. But when things happen and you're trying to figure out why, that's when having that knowledge makes a difference.
Diagnosing supplied client templates.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys ever try to fix templates?
Oh, yeah. I've got two of those.
You
two
really,
of those projects
really,
active right
them.
Now.
That's
fixing.
Brave. Mm-hmm.
And of course, with your advice, we just start from scratch.
Right.
Usually.
Well, there you
there
go.
Was mm-hmm. one time I remember I got a template that needed some fixing, but I looked at it and I said, it's really not that bad. I kept going back mm-hmm. and I said, you sure? Mm-hmm. And I remember I sent it to you.
Yeah.
And you gave me the blessing. You
yep.
said, you know what? No need to rebuild it.
I don't think you would. Yeah.
It's rare, but yeah, that happens.
But generally you just gotta. Because they're a weird thing. Like I'm looking at one now that like you literally can't change the size of a text box or something. Like I don't know how that happens, but clearly there's some junk code in it and you just got to start from scratch.
Yeah. Yeah. I had one recently that I actually did. I fixed it. I kind of rebuilt it. It's kind of a, this is like, it was a weird situation, but we had some of the, what do I want to say? The placeholders, the subtitle placeholders, they were doing weird things. Like they wouldn't maintain the line spacing. When we would reset the line spacing, we would set it to zero and it would go back to six after I saved and closed the file. So I ended up having to completely rebuild certain layouts because like I have no idea what they did. And that's what I tried to explain. Like
it's not that somebody did it on purpose. It's just the XML goes
something happened.
It's ingrained and entrenched.
And I don't know what.
And we can't go back and there's no record of what the person did.
Right.
And so it's just easier a lot of times just to rebuild that layout.
Yeah.
Rebuild that.
Yeah. Even if you don't rebuild the whole thing, sometimes you have to rebuild those layouts.
Do you talk about sort of that, like triaging or surgically fixing things?
No, start to finish.
Triage, you have to have so much knowledge to be able to triage something like that. I mean, that's just not even a can of worms.
There are some smaller things though. Like, can't you, like, let's say you really mess up the default divider slide, you can just delete it and bring a new one in for a fresh file, right?
We did talk about that. Yeah. I mean, we said some things like that.
So that's a good trick.
Yes.
That's a good hack.
That's a very good one.
That's a good hack.
You don't have to start over. No. You just bring that one in. And you can also bring in layouts. You're going to have to do something to them, but you can bring in master layouts from other files.
Yep.
And just copy paste them in like you would a slide.
But that depends on what you're starting from. Because garbage in, garbage out. You may end up having to rebuild that because you don't know what they did.
The other thing is if those layouts were based on defaults and you're copying them in, you're going to run into that
that weird.
You're going to run into the weird thing where the placeholders are looking for what's the term? IDX values.
Yeah.
So, okay. If you're bringing in a layout that you knew was created as a custom layout, insert from custom scratch. Layout from just scratch, I'd say you're fine.
Okay.
But when you copy in layouts that were default in this template into your template that has these nice defaults, we in the book we say, do not copy default layouts. Do not duplicate them. Always start with a new. And don't delete or add placeholders on the defaults. Those are the two things that you just cannot do because it causes those problems with the files. PowerPoint's looking for something.
And to reiterate, it's not because it's not a good idea. That is what people want to accomplish. But again, we're working within the constraints of PowerPoint.
There you go.
And when you do that, things on the back end.
This is the way the program works.
It's just not going to work the way you want. You create issues without knowing you created them, I think, is
the That's true. Now, one of the things, though, because you know what Nolan is talking about, I think, too, is maybe even a little different than what you're saying. So totally exactly what Julie said. But then also, let's say you have a template or an old one, and you want your new template to map to that old one. So even if you start over from scratch, you might want to copy in some of those layouts from that old one to the new one so that the values under the hood match. And so when you're copying old slides into your new template, it's like, oh, yeah, there's that layout that we were using. I'm going to use it again. But when you do that, you are running a risk because who knows what they did in the old one. And so you've got to make sure that stuff works right. And if it does, you're in luck. Don't go adding placeholders or removing from that initial because you're going to screw it up again. There's no point. But those are, that's the kind of triage kind of stuff that is really, really hard to teach people. Mm-hmm. And you can go in and change those. There's an index value under the hood that PowerPoint is looking at when it's trying to map. So there's a lot of things when it's trying to map. And you can go in and you can change that. And sometimes it's effective and works. And I've seen it also just not work. So,
can I describe what I think you're talking about? The term was what again?
IDX.
Index value.
Is that when you've added a subhead to a slide? Then when you're inserting a new slide, the subhead goes down into the footer?
Yep. Okay. It's because
it moves. It doesn't know where to go.
It doesn't know where to go.
Yeah. And with the constraints of PowerPoint, there's no way for us to address that.
That's right.
Can't do it.
Yeah. Well, I wish they'd do a bang bang.
I know. Wouldn't that be nice? You could do a bang bang identifier.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
I agree with you.
But you can change that index value under the hood, and if they match theoretically, it's supposed to map. PowerPoint will know. Oh yeah, that's the one it's supposed to go into. It actually works better than it used to. I think that they've done some work on it, but it's not perfect, and you can't always fix it. Anyway, that's the kind of stuff that's hard to go into in there. It's just way in depth, way in the weeds.
Version 3 will come out when they have visual mapping to say this is IDX number 4.
And there you
on the
go.
Next slide it says this IDX 4. So you, or layout, yeah. excuse me. So you know which maps to what, because there's no yeah. way to track it down.
I was talking to somebody at Microsoft easily. And I said something about the IDX value. He's like, you know, there's like a handful of people in the world who know what IDX values are. Like, it's just... not a thing.
Speaking of a handful, or the one person in the world who knows about variants and customizing them. So you mentioned that variants was a big thing and that we get rid of them, but there mm-hmm. was a point where the intention was, and when we say just quickly define variants.
So variants are, when you're on the design tab, there's there are four little thumbnails, and like if
off
you have
to the right.
Off to the right on the design tab, if you have a default office theme open, you're going to see two white ones and two black ones. And what those variants do, you see four of them, but there are actually eight of them. So they allow you to switch to a white background with a different color theme, or a black black background with a different color theme, or when you switch slides and go to 4x3, it'll do white or black in the 4x3. So you got 16x9s and 4x3s in different combinations.
In that one file, there are eight templates.
There are actually eight templates. Wow. So there are, in all the stock Microsoft themes have those. So if you go to File New and you download or you use one of those stock themes that ships with Microsoft, so Ion is the one that always comes to mind for me. So if you use Ion, you're going to have four different, there's a blue one, an orange one, a something. There's 4x3 and 16x9 all built in under the hood. That's what a variant is.
And maybe the theory initially was that custom templates would be able to have their own variants. So you could have like eight templates in one.
Echo has built some of those. Mm-hmm.
But it was basically impossible to actually author those, except unless your name was Echo. And you've just moved beyond that, right?
I do not do those anymore. Okay. And part of the reason is there is no tool to do them with. You'd have to hand roll all the XML. But more importantly, it's really confusing for users. It's really difficult for IT to roll out. They can't keep track of them.
Not only the minute someone saves a file as a POTX, they all go away.
They go away.
Right. Yes. Well, if someone decides they want to change the copyright date, the client comes in, they want to change the copyright date, or they want to change a color or something, it's broken. And then they come back. Well, why does this not? Well, because you can't do that. You can't make changes.
And so saving as POTX gets rid of them because we don't want to deal with them.
Right.
Right.
And
if you leave them in, the danger is that if you click it on, mm-hmm. everything gets destroyed.
Well, the bigger danger is
you can't go back to what you got.
That's exactly right. Everything gets destroyed. But the bigger danger is not even just clicking one of those by mistake. But if you switch slide size, if you go from, you've got a 4x3 deck and you mm-hmm. change it to 16x9, everything blows up. Or if you have a 16x9 and you change it to a 4x3, everything
now
gets
you
destroyed.
Have Microsoft's
all your
default formatting.
Yeah. You have to go from widescreen to 16x9, which are theoretically the same thing.
Right.
Two different page sizes.
Right. If you go old widescreen, new.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good theories. There's a lot of good ideas on how things were supposed to work for templates.
Uh-huh.
And I will say this. 100% confidence that PowerPoint templates are the most robust template of any software option
Absolutely.
Out there, but they're still riddled with issues and dilemmas.
Yeah.
But you cannot.
It's the way the program works.
It's the limitations or it's the constraints of PowerPoint. Like, you cannot accomplish in Google Slides. There is less than a third of the options available.
Oh, yeah. When's the Google Slides template coming?
When you're writing, when you're done writing it.
Oh, great.
I've had to do a couple Google Slides templates recently, and I'm going to just tell you, clients out there love to build your templates. Google Slide templates, I will build them. It's going to cost you 20% more. Mm-hmm. It is so much work.
And it does,
so much
it
more
does
difficult.
50% less.
Yeah.
You cannot set as many preset defaults. Uh-uh. And you can make a Google Slides template. A template. It just cannot encompass as many elements.
I feel like when I'm forced to work with Google Slides and build templates in
your hands are tied behind your back.
I feel like I'm working with my left hand and one eye, mm-hmm. and it's very crippling to be in that environment.
It's just, it's even got more constraints.
Yeah.
And that's how Google Slides works.
Well, and I have a great line I use. People say, first of all, they say, could we have this template work in both Google Slides and PowerPoint?
Oh, yeah. No.
That's a very common request. And I say, first of all, you know how people complain about PowerPoint and templates and everything else? I'm like, that's because they have so many options, but there are so many ways to break those options or not to implement them properly. We minimize that amount of stuff. Google Slides doesn't even have the options to break. So therefore, what we create is going to be very streamlined, but it's going to accomplish the core of core elements only.
Right.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Well, I think this has been phenomenal. We could go on. So I think we should also throw out there that whole last conversation about variants. Everybody just go la, 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 and ignore them. They're a great feature that has never come to fruition. They haven't come into their own yet. Maybe by version 5 of the book, Microsoft will roll out
save
some
us
miraculous,
BOTX, get rid
awesome
of them.
Stuff. Because there is so much potential to even continue on. Because there is, I mean, when they went to the XML base, 2007, mm-hmm. so we're going back quite mm-hmm. a ways. So much potential, so many great things implemented, and now we're down to the pick and choose. And you know, I know there's a lot of business reasons behind it. Pause, because I don't know what to say there.
No, I mean, so designer has the AI behind it, and I feel like designer has the potential to help with that slide size swap. Mm. And so I feel like there should be something there to help people, because I know there are still clients who want 4x3 and 16x9. They want to be able to print in 4x3 and fill the page better, and they want to be able to present in 16x9, you know, on your laptop screens and things. It makes sense. Widescreen, you know, there should be an easier way to flop it. And I feel like the AI should be able to do that. If I had a super theme, a theme family with a 4x3 and a 16x9, I feel like designer AI should be able to take the custom one and help me swap those slides without things blowing up. But it also goes back to how your slides are built, garbage in, garbage out. Yeah,
we just got a template that was built on that damn keynote size at, what is it, 26 inches?
By 15 something, yeah.
By an agency, and it was 30 meg or 80 meg?
81 meg. I got an email from a client this week on Thursday night. I'm leaving Friday morning because I taught boot camp Saturday. And they said, can you help me optimize this template we got from our design agency? It's coming in at 81 meg. And for some reason, it's now blowing up to 350. And I don't know why. I'm not a PowerPoint expert. And we need it by Monday. I'm sorry. I can't help you. I can't help you. I will rebuild your template, but it's going to have to wait until October 4th. I just can't do it.
They're waiting, by the way, because they know that she's the only one who can deal with it.
Yeah, there's so many variables there.
There's just, I don't have anyone I can really recommend. I could recommend any of you guys, but you're all here.
We're together.
Everybody I would recommend is here at the conference with me. I'm sorry. I can't help you. I wish I could. But no, I can't just press a button and optimize it, unfortunately.
I'll do you one better, Julie, on the keynote thing. We've all certainly seen things start there. I'm working on one right now that was started in Pages.
Oh, no.
And so, this is also the one which I can't resize text boxes. So
that's why.
Somehow they got from Pages to PowerPoint.
Wow.
And the client was just not happy.
Does Pages even exist? I mean, I guess it does.
Yeah. On the Mac. Yeah, like, it's the Mac.
Isn't that the Word version?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like okay. like Apple's Word.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't had that one. Wow, I thought I've encountered about everything. I mean, this table is a great collective of the statement of people go, well, how do you know how to fix that? It's because we've all encountered more problems than everybody else. So we've come up with solutions. You wrote a book about how to do templates because you had the insight to see more problems than anybody else.
Wow.
And you know, more, I mean, the diversity of clients helps us see problems.
Yeah.
You know, somebody that's just in finance, they get to see just the elements that would affect the finance slide design or template. Mm-hmm. So I think diversity.
You know what? I along those lines.
They're both pointing at me, by the way, folks.
No, it's really difficult to write a book on templates and make sure you're covering all the bases because there are so many different types of templates being created for different types of presentations.
Mm-hmm. Different needs.
We even had to address document type templates because a lot of our clients use PowerPoint for documents. So you have to cover all of the bases and make it, you know,
relevant
to more people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was going to say that one of the reasons that we have so much collective knowledge on this is because that's part of the MVP DNA. Mm-hmm. Mm. I have clients who ask me for Word templates, and I outsource those to a former Word MVP, Office MVP, and she does a phenomenal job, but she's not always available. So I've been trying to find additional Word developers. That was a nightmare. And I'll tell you what, I asked for, some of the things I was asking for, I thought maybe it was a little bit too much. And they would be like, yeah, no, I can't get this to work and blah. And then I would go Google it and I would figure it out in 5 minutes and how to work it. And I would go back and I'd be like, here's what you do. Why are they not doing that? Like, I don't understand. These are MCT trainers. They can build a Word template. I don't understand if they don't know how to work with clients, if they don't understand, if they're not curious anymore about how things actually work in the real world. Like, I don't get it. But I feel like that's part of the MVP DNA is to figure it out and figure out why it's not working as expected. And so that's just something very specific to us, I believe.
It's interesting searching PowerPoint templates because you'll find articles going back to PowerPoint 2000, PowerPoint 2003. These are irrelevant. 2007, it's almost irrelevant in many cases. So it's like you need to find, you need to hone your search in to be more relevant to PowerPoint modern. You know, and you can't say Office 365. I don't know. It's really interesting how sometimes on our design team, people come up with an answer. And I was like, hold on, let me think that through. wait. You researched that, but that really doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
But it's a great idea. You know, so you get these, like, you know, PowerPoint just has that huge legacy of activity, I think. Hey, I think we're going to wrap up. This has been phenomenal. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, my gosh, Troy. This is so great. So anybody that's listening, I'm now on Amazon. You can go get the paperback version for $35.84.
Wow. Get it now.
$49.99. That is that's pretty phenomenal sale.
Yeah, they knocked it down without telling us.
Kindle edition is there. So yeah, I might just have to order another one because we still have our copy and all of our incoming designers. It's pretty much like, here, you have downtime. Here's a book. Aww. Read through it. You know, I know we covered all this stuff. Just this will prove that we know what we're talking about, by the way. Because, you know, nobody knows
here's the backup.
Anything about Office when they come in. So so I might just buy an extra copy to leave at the studio. Although nobody really works in the studio. So
okay. Send them the e-book.
Find them all the e-book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just shoot them the e-book. They can download it.
But
you know,
it is substantial. It is a hefty book.
300 and some pages.
303? Now I got a 303 pages.
314 and with the index.
Ooh. Oh, plus.
Wow.
Look at this. Like
that. I think you should have made it a test school textbook and you could get hundreds of dollars for that.
I don't know of any school that would want anyone who would be able to teach it.
Well, there you go. There's more revenue, a new career.
There you go. Yeah.
So thank you. If you haven't gotten it, PowerPoint templates version 2, building PowerPoint templates version 2 is out there and available. If you are in the realm of building templates, this is the resource because I can guarantee you cannot find the original edition. If you do, buy it immediately, provided it doesn't cost.
Oh, it's outdated. No, this one's better. It's outdated.
And this one is still... it's all phenomenal content, and there is really, like, Microsoft points people to this resource, and it's really great. And with that, we're gonna say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available from the Presentation Podcast website at thepresentationpodcast.com. Also, through the website, contact the show hosts with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated, and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.